Eternal, everlasting Father, we come this morning just as we are with our one plea, O God. Thank you for the opportunity, O God, that we have to share your word. Lord, I ask that you come and speak, not me, and let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. Holy Spirit, come and fill me and fill this place. And use us and use me as your word go forth, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The foundation of stewardship. Before we go through, we want to look at our internal truth. And I'm going to skip and count down to almost to the end there. It says, to do justice to that end, I got to go a little bit further. So I'm going to go and say that God has given us the resources and gifts to direct and fuel our growth and strength. In as much God has given us, God also wants us to acknowledge his ownership over everything. Not some. Right? Oh, only a few person know yet. God wants us to acknowledge that he has ownership over everything by demonstrating our stewardship. He has given you your life to steward for his glory and for your good. As we become good stewards, guess what happened? It enabled us, our thoughts, our priorities, to be refocused on God. We're not focusing on those stuff, but we focus on God. Why? He provides the means to meet our needs and then bring him glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. So the question is, what is stewardship? When we think about stewardship, what do you think when you hear the word steward? And I'm trying to get some definitions to put together, but I got this definition from this website, a Christian website, and I decided, I said, okay, this is going to look good. And this is what it says. Stewardship is not ordering your resources in a way that you can spend whatever you want. No? It's ordering your life in such a way that God can spend you however, whenever he wants. Amen. And I come to agree with that because why? If you think of it, Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could live a life to pursue good health, right? It's good. Wealth is good, yes. Entertainment, yeah, it's good. And so forth. No, instead, he died on the cross so that we can become his own. He owns us. He owns our lives. You see, you and I were born with a price, and we are called to build the kingdom of God, not our own. So as we consider stewardship, we want to consider several practices of stewardship as we go through this morning. You know, when we talk about stewardship, most often people think about money. And it's more than money. It's more than money. So we want to talk about stewardship of time, stewardship of talent or gift, stewardship of resources, and the principles of good stewardship. So the first one we want to look at is time. Before we talk about time, I want us to get some basic observation about time. You know, most people say, oh, my time is running out. No, it's not your time. It's God's time, thank you. You see, time is limited. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, Paul said, it is appointed for men once to die. And after death, judgment. So, time is not only limited, it's fleeting. According to David in Psalm 144 verse 1, he said, man is like a what? Breath. His days are like passing shadow. So you don't have time. Time is moving. It's not waiting for you, neither is it waiting for me. And guess what? We can lose time easily. If you're not mindful, we lose time easily. And we cannot even borrow time. We cannot even store time. There is nowhere in your house you say, okay, this closet is for time. I'm going to keep time in there. When I get ready, I'm going to possess it. No! And you cannot even stop time. Nor can you stretch time. Guess what? You can stretch a rubber band without attaching another rubber to it, right? But if you work in the course of 1 hour, you cannot stretch that 1 hour without adding additional hour on it. You're going to work in that 1 hour, and when that 1 hour comes, the next one is 1 hour, 1 second, 1 hour, 2 seconds, 1 hour, 3 seconds. You still did not stretch that 1 hour. And that's what makes time so valuable. Amen? Amen? So, considering all of these things about time, what do you use with your time? What do you do with your time? How do you use your time? How do you work with the time that you have? And we're going to look at a couple of things that came to mind. Prayer. And we talked, Pastor Gary spoke about prayer last Sunday. Prayer is important. How many of us spend time praying? How many of us have time that we spend with God? Time with God is important. Fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How many of us prioritize time to come to church or spend time with believers? How many of us prioritize time in serving God? Or even reading our scripture, witnessing to others? And some of us work from Sunday to Sunday, and we don't even have a time for rest. From one job to another job, we're so busy, and we didn't forget about our family. Mind you, God worked and he rested on the seventh day. It's important for us. It's important. You know, during my courses at school, one of the classes I had, a professor asked us to, in 2 weeks, we should draw a time journal and write down every 15 minutes what we did. And after that, for 2 weeks, calculate based on the different things that you did and see how much time was spent on certain things. And I'm telling you, when everybody brought a report in class, we all spent more time on different things than even reading the word of God. It's natural. We get so busy here and there and forget to spend time with God. Amen? But let's see what Paul has to say in the book of Ephesians. He tells us about time. He said, so then, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming what? You got to help me. Y'all got to help me. He said, redeeming the time. Why are we to make best use of the time? Why are we, be wise in using our time? And Paul is saying, not for our own sake, but for God. Because he gave you time. He gave us time. We do not create time. We don't even know how time came into being. So he said, we should walk wisely. Paul gave a careful instruction about use of time. He said we should make every opportunity, the basic use of time that we have. We need to use it wisely in the eyes of God. Not in our own eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should spend 24 hours doing God's work. But what Paul is saying that if there's an opportunity to spend time with God, use that opportunity to spend time. If there's an opportunity to fellowship with believers, use that time wisely to fellowship with believers. If there's an opportunity to spread, to witness to other people about God, use that time wisely and spread the gospel to others. If there's an opportunity to reach out, do it. That's the wise time using that Paul is speaking about. And that means that we need to be serious with the time that God has given us. And work hard, because he says that we are in the days of what? Evil. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And look what James chapter 4, verse 13 to 15 tells us. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and build and sell and gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a what? A little time. And then it vanished away. What are you doing with the time that God has offered you? Amen? There are 60 minutes in an hour, right? And there are, in a day, there are 1,440 minutes in a day. And if you calculate that for a month, for a week, you have 10,080 minutes in a week. And if you calculate that for a month, you have 43,200 minutes a month. How many of that 43,200 minutes of month are you spending in the presence of God, doing what God calls you to do? You see, God wants us to spend time. And as we speak of a building block, building the kingdom of God, if we are not good steward of time, we're going to hinder the work from going on. We're going to hinder because we are not using our time wisely. And God requires us to use our time wisely. Amen? Amen. And the question is, so how are you going to spend your time going forward? That is up to you. And that leads me to our second point, the practice of stewardship of talent. Now, each of us, all of us in here, every born-again believer may have some special talent or some special gift that God has given each of us. God, he has blessed you with a gift, and sometimes you are even unaware of those gifts or those talents that God has given you. And you're even aware of it, but you're not willing to explore. You're not willing to use that gift. You're not willing to say, Lord, help me to use the gift and talents that you have given me. And as we look at that, God gave the gift for a purpose. In that he gave it for the common good of the church. He gave it to maintain a functioning body. He gave it for the admonition and the building of the church. That's why God gives each of us gift and talents. Let's look in there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. He says, as such, as each one of has received a gift, minister it to one another as what? Oh, y'all got to be alone with me. Come on. As what? As good. No, good. He said good. Y'all living good. He said good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You, me, we all have been given a gift of talent. And God, Peter is saying that as good stewards, we ought to use those gifts. In a lot of parts, they say that all things, God, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Not for me to be glorified, not for any of us to be glorified, but for God to be glorified through the talent, the gift that he has given you. And that's why it helps the good of the church. God didn't give our gifts to come and just sit Sunday morning and boom, after service we gone. No. You may have different gifts. You may have the gift of just encouraging someone. Use it. It helps for the common good of the church. That's why God gives each and every one of these gifts. And to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And not only that, but God also gave another gift to maintain a functioning body as a church. Look in there, he said, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So our gift, my gift, your gift is not just for me, it's for the church. That's why he called you, he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that he can be glorified through our different gifts, through our different talents to promote his work, his kingdom here on earth. Imagine how you feel as a parent, right? On Christmas morning, you went and purchased gifts for your children. And you called them, come on, guys, I got gifts for you. And they came, they just grabbed the gifts. Boom, they ran upstairs to their room and threw it in the closet. Did not open it. And you sitting there wondering, what is wrong? My kids should be excited because I give them gifts. And the friend comes over and says, what did you get for Christmas? Nothing. What? Mom and daddy? No, nothing. How will you feel as a parent? Disappointed, right? Let's be real. You feel disappointed. Now let's turn around. How do you think God feels when he has given each of us gift? And we have not even opened our gift. We have not even explored our gift. We have not even explored our talent that God has given us. We just come and sit on it and do nothing. How do you think God feels that what he has blessed you with, why he expects you to use to glorify him, you didn't even appreciate the gift that he's given you? He didn't give it for your own good. He gave it for his own glory. So that he can be glorified through the gifts, through the talents. That's why God gave you the gifts. And sometimes we kind of overlook God's blessing. We kind of overlook the talent that God has given us. But as a church, as we are looking at building blocks, building God's kingdom, we have to use the different gifts. Whatever you may have, the gift of teaching. You may have the gift of working in the church or serving as a custodian. You may have different gifts. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. You know, Pastor Gary and I were talking about building team. And those teams, the team we anticipate building, it require people with gifts.
And we don't want no one to say, I can't do it. No. God has given you it. Give it a try.
And he who has called you is faithful to take you through whatever he calls you to do. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. To work and use the gifts and talents that he has blessed us with. Amen? And the next thing we want to look at, as we talk about functioning body, he said, look in there, he said, I read a lot of parts, he said, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he's pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? God brought you here for a purpose. God saved your life for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. Not for your own good. Not for you to dress and look all good and walk out of the door with your handbag or your nice suit on you. No. He calls you to be a part of a body, to serve him, to honor him, to labor for him while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And that's why he wants us to use our talents. He wants us to use our different gifts in the church. Don't be afraid. Many of us didn't know our own gifts, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he enabled us to be able to function through. And that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us through. Every year, you don't even know, we're going to help you. Just join and do something, because God can turn our little into great things for his service. Amen. Another thing is the admonition and building of the church. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave us it. He gave us those gifts, those talents, for the equip, to equip us. To equip you and give you the ability to serve him and do what he wants you to do and to help the ministry to flourish. You can have one person doing the same thing in a church. You can have one person doing three persons' job. When you have three persons that can, or four persons that can even make their make themselves available to even do that. You know, sometimes we give a lot of excuses. We give excuses for things that we think is better for us, but we don't think, God, is there excuse guarantee? Is it a good excuse that I'm giving? Ooh, if God would just speak you right away, say, X. Nope. Because it's all about us. We don't think that, oh, the gift, the ability that I have is God who's giving it to me. And I'm making excuses for those things that don't even prioritize God's work, but our own desire. Amen? Amen. You know, I told Tico Cherito, I said, I like to hit the nail on the hammer on the nail. Amen. We go to the third part of the principles of stewardship. And we want to talk about the practice of stewardship of resources. And this is where many people don't love to hear. When the Bible talks about your stewardship, your resources, your money, and all the stuff. Say, oh, that church talk about money too much. But when it comes Sunday morning, the air conditioner is on, the heater is on, and everything is running good, the place looks nice and good. Ah, that's my church. See, First Baptist on Salem Road, that's my church. Everything looks good. But they forget to know they need resources to be run, right? But let's look at what Paul has to tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 25. And there he talks about, and I kind of say, the principles in giving as we give. We should be eager and enthusiastic about giving. Oh, I'm not here. One amen. Thank you. I don't know more than you got to answer me because we're going to stay long on this one. If you ain't answer me tonight. Amen? Have the right attitude about giving. Amen. Consider the law of sowing and weeping and reaping, rather. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the sowing and reaping on television where they say you sow this year and you get this. No, I'm not speaking about that. Amen? When you turn the television on, probably midnight, after midnight, you heard the prosperity gospel. I'm not going down. Amen? And the next thing, we can't out give God. We can't. You see, Paul, you would think Paul would have mentioned about tithe in the New Testament in his teaching, right? Paul was a Jewish, he had a strong Hebrew background, he knows about the Jewish law and all those things. But Paul didn't mention anything about tithe in his message, in his letter to the believers in Corinth and in Macedonia as he wrote to them. He didn't mention about that. But you know what is very interesting? Tithe is good. But Paul, if you look at that in verse 2, he said, "For I know your willingness." And that's why he said, "About which I boast of you to the Macedonians, and that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal was stir up the majority." Paul had a sense of the believers. They did not use calculator to check how many percent we should give to the work of God. Now, if we want to consider giving tithe, none of us give tithe correctly. Because in the Old Testament, tithes were brought to the priest, your first fruits. If you have farm, whatever you harvest, bring the first fruit. If you have cattle, bring the first fruit. Whatever you have. So if we bring that into this day, if you sold your house, oh, you ain't get it yet? If you sold your house, 10% belong to God if we were going back to the Old Testament. If you have a 401k, when you get ready, 10% belong to God. You got your social security, when it comes, 10% belong to God. Whatever you got, 10%. But Paul said, hold on for that minute. I want you to give. With your, thank you. He said, I want you to give with your heart. Not with the calculator. Because when God ready to give you, he don't use a calculator to give you. He doesn't say, oh, you know, I'm going to give Pastor Ansel 10% of this. No. Because I'm a witness and I know how God has been a blessing. And look, when Paul described in there, he said, therefore, in verse 5 there, he said, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift. Your generous gift. Beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a what? Not as a grudging obligation. Oh, I got to get 10%. Today, 10%.
I gotta pay the bill. Ooh! I gotta pay the bill. How am I gonna do it? No. God said, Paul said, give generously. Not with grudging, not with obligation. Not because the Old Testament said 10%, but Paul said, give generously more than the 10%. Double it, even if you can go 50%. But some of us, we are afraid. We're scared. Oh, I've been there sometimes. I was there before, and I understood. But you see, God kind of revealed his word that when you trust him and give according to how he blesses you, David said, I was young, and now I'm old. You see, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed beg for bread. That's the goodness of God. That's the blessings of God. Amen? Amen. And not only that, Paul kind of mentioned about the believers in Macedonia. He said, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Look in verse 2. He said that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of the joy and the deep poverty abounded in the riches of the liberality. He said, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. These believers were in poverty. They were struggling. But when it came to the work of God, they were willing freely to give. They didn't consider their situation. They didn't consider their status. They know to whom they were giving. And they were giving to the work of God. Look at verse 2. It says, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift. Calling the apostle to come and get this gift that they has given them. And you know, when I was reading that, I said, I know maybe they have to hurry up because probably they might want to change their mind. You know, I ain't pay my water bill. Okay, I'll postpone that. I'm going to pay the water bill. Then next week, I'll take care of the apostle. But with much urgency, they call on the believers. And that's something that we as Christians, we as a church, that's what God needs from us. God knows your ability. God knows your strength. God knows your status. And when it comes to you, give it to him. Don't give grudgingly. Give that he will be excited about your giving. Amen. That's what God wants from us. In verse 6, they said, Paul said, but this I say, he who what sows sparingly will do what? You know, sometimes we can give and our eyes can want to take the blessing back. Sometimes you put in the money in there and then you think about all the other problems behind you, and then you're, But guess what? God sees the heart of your giving. Amen. He sees when even you give a little. Remember Jesus said about this lady in the temple? When everybody came and just throwing it with a long robe and what have you, throwing a lot of coins in there, and this lady came. She gave all that she had. And she gave it willingly. Generously. That was her generous giving. And that's what God wants to see in us. The heart of giving. Because when you have the heart of giving, nobody needs to tell you about giving. Amen. The pastor don't need to announce about giving. The church don't need to say, oh, we need people to give. Our budget is low. We're going to be passing budget soon. Mm-hmm. We need to support the church. We need the church to grow. We need different ministries to be on fire for God. And all of these things need resources. And that's why we need to give to the work of God. He says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. It's not my word. That's Paul. That's why he says. And look there, he said, in verse 1, he said, so let each one of you give as he what? Purposes in his heart. Now, not because God said you should give purposes as you purpose in your heart, and you know very well, God, someone bless you with $100, and you like, okay, God said I should bless purposes. They think that if I take out this $10, it's going to be $90. I'm not going to do this. But guess what? When God moves upon your heart, boom, boom, you take it and give it. And maybe after a week or so, you just sit there, you go open your envelope, your mailbox, and you see a check of $200. Oh, I give that $100, and God bless me back with $200. And maybe the Holy Spirit is going to speak in your heart and say, what are you going to do with that $200? But you see, God, he loves a cheerful giver. You see, the Greek word that Paul used there is hilarion. And that's where the English word hilarious comes from. It means when you give with everything that God has blessed you with. Be joyful in your giving. Be thankful in your giving. Be glorious in your giving to God. Don't be giving to God and be thinking about the outcome of it. That's why God wants you to do, church. Even as we anticipate on building. He says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the supply and multiply, and bread for food rather, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Church, giving is part of our spiritual worship. It's part of our spiritual responsibility towards God. It's not a man thing. God demands us to do such. Amen? Amen. And that's what we as Christians need to do. Can we go to the next slide? Amen. And as we come to the next end or to the end of our message, we want to look at the principle of good stewardship. And from our scripture reading read beautifully, we see that God, Christ gave this parable of the talents that were given to all his servants. And of all the servants, only one who failed to make use of the talents that was given him. You see, we need to understand that in order to be a good steward, it's God who gave us whatever gifts, whatever talent you have, whatever job you have. He gave it to us. Because the words in the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Whatever you have is God. The Lord holds us accountable if we fail to be a good steward. And not only that, in verse 28 to 30, God is going to judge us. Just as the master told the servant, said, you wicked servant. He said, you should have taken my money and put it in the bank. That way I would have gotten interest, right? Yeah. But instead, you want a dark hole and put it in there. And many of us, instead of us giving to God, we digging hole in our own pocket, in our water, and putting it in there. And sometimes we wonder, why I can't catch up with this? Why is this happening? Why my financial status is so difficult and what have you? And so. Did you check the last time your financial status with God? Did you check your responsibility to God as a steward? Because God has made you a steward of every resource that he has blessed you with. Are you being a faithful steward when it comes to the resources? Because at the end of the day, when God blesses you, when you give, God bless you. When you use your talent, God bless you. When you use your gift, God bless you. Whatever you do for him, never go unnoticed. And that's why God wants us to be good stewards. And here's the thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I mean chapter 8, verse 5 rather, Paul talks about the believers. He said, and not only as we had hoped, but this is what the believers did. They gave first themselves to the Lord. And guess what? And then to us, that the will by the will of God. So in order for us to be good stewards, we must first of all give ourselves completely to God. And when we give ourselves completely to God, we're going to be good stewards of our time, of God's time. We're going to be good stewards of the resources that God has given us. We're going to be good stewards of the talent that God has given us. You see, God is not man that he should lie. Not the son of man. Whatever he says, fulfills. In Luke chapter 6, verse 10, he said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running. Woo! It's going to be running over a church. He said, running over to be put into your bosom. He said, for with the same measure that you use, it will be the same measure that God's going to use to bless you. You see, God's going to use whatever means he wants to use to bless you. You know, I was sharing this story with Pastor Gary and Sandy, and I was watching this preaching, and this pastor came to the end. He said, this lady in her house, she was a good Christian. She ran out of food and nothing in her pantry. So she got down on her knees and started to pray to God, asking God to provide for her. And her next door neighbor, who happened to be an atheist, who didn't believe in God, heard her praying. And she said, and he said, oh, okay, I'm going to prove to this lady that there is no God. So he got in his car, he went to his grocery store, bought enough food, put it in his truck, and drove to her house. And put everything out in front of her door. And he knocked on the door and went and hid himself in the flower bush. And the lady came out of the house and she saw all this food. And she started to praise God. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answering my prayer. Praise God. And this guy came out of the bush. He said, no, it's not God. It's me. I bought this food. I went to the store, used my credit card, and put it in my car and brought it for you. It wasn't God. And she looked at him. Whoa, God did it. Woo, he did it. And he still could not get away. He said, stop. Don't talk about God. I did it. It wasn't God. And she said, look, man, God did it. He did it. And here's the thing. God can even use the enemy to bless you. When you are faithful to him, when you commit to him in every way that he desired of you, he can even use the enemy to be a blessing to your life. And that's why God wants us to realize that as we serve him, as we labor for him, He will come true with his word in our lives. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, even as your word go forth, may it touch the hearts of your people and let your name be glorified. We thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen.